Judges, of all places, the book of Judges. I'm going to come back to Luke chapter 2. You can count on that. But let's start in Judges 16, because in prayer, I felt like God wanted to take this scripture and marry it to this other verse that we're going to use, or two or three. Judges 16, verse 25, and it came to pass when their hearts were merry, and our hearts are merry, yeah, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house. And he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. I want you to notice the next verse, especially verse 26. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand. Now just get this picture. Here's this former military hero. I mean, you know, Sergeant York, Robin Hood, Audie Murphy, all wrapped up in one. And he's standing there. His eyes have been gouged out. And he's got a little boy that's holding his hand and helping him to get around. And he has to ask this little boy to help him. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me. Somebody say, remember me. You ever feel like you're just sort of kind of like forgotten? That you didn't count and never did and never will? Remember me, Samson says. And then he says in his prayer, strengthen me. Don't just show me that you remember me, Lord, but in your remembering of me, your remembrance of me, give me some strength. He wants to do that today. Strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than which he slew in his life. I want you to extract out of these verses, and I've never preached from Samson's life at Christmas time, as far as I know, but I want you to get a picture of this war hero who's standing there, Gina, with this little boy holding his hand. And instead of the war hero leading the little guy is leading the war hero. You talk about a humble picture, and that's what I want to talk about, because I believe that Bethlehem is a picture of humility. Jesus, open our hearts, we pray, God. We work with you today. We have felt your presence. We have felt the anointing of the Holy Ghost on this platform. We've seen you use our children, Lord. We've seen you use our young people, Lord. Touch us one more time, I pray, Lord. Show us, Lord, your heart. Show us your strength. Give us some hope, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord right now? You may be seated. Christ is born. The whole scenario is filled with a complex group of humble circumstances. I've been in Bethlehem, not much to talk about. I've been in Miami. I've been in Phoenix. I've been in Anchorage. I've been in, it goes on and on, Chicago multiple times, New York City, Philadelphia, Boston in one day. I mean, I've been around. You've been around a lot of great towns. Bethlehem ain't nothing really to talk about. Matter of fact, the Bible refers to how small it was. Just a little burg. You ever been through a town and you realize that, you know, they've got one street light, and when you plug in your electric razor, the street light dims, and you realize you're in a small town. We have driven through a lot of towns through the years, and I'd say to my wife, I wonder what it would take to get a church started here. I wonder what it would take. You remember those times? Maybe when, I wonder what it would take to get a church started here in this town. Praise God. Little old Bethlehem. Listen to this. For unto us a child is born. I love this verse. Unto us a son is given. He's born at me. He's born at you. If you need some direction, believe you me that he can give it to you, because he was born even with direction. He was aimed at us. He was aimed at me. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. How many of you believe that scripture today? I'm glad we have a revelation on who he is. He's not just one third of the Godhead. For the Bible says in Colossians 2:9, for all the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth bodily in him. Come on, clap your hands. Let's make merry in the house of God. We have a revelation on who he is. Woo! But such a humble situation. Now listen to this. I was studying on this. Sister Jess, I learned something that I have never known the short time I've been alive. And that's to cause you to fall on the floor and laugh. The short time part. Listen to Luke 2, verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. That's one of my favorite scriptures about this whole story. Now, I want to ask you something. Does anybody here, Sabrina, good to see you. Does anybody here know what was meant by the word manger? Sabrina, is that you over here? So good to see you. Been in my prayers. Now, I've heard this word used since I was a toddler on steroids. I mean, you know, manger this and manger that. And Alicia, oh, you guys sang it. Sang the house down. We think Samson brought the house down. These young people brought the house down. Son, did they evermore sing? And they sung with an anointing. It wasn't just vocal cords. It was music with an anointing on it. Yes, amen. So, when I don't know what you think about, but when I hear the word manger, I think, oh, that's talking about, you know, that little roof. You know, that nice, cute little roof that was directly over him and Mary and Joseph and Jennifer, I know you're a teacher, so I don't know if you, so you probably already knew what I'm going to share with them, but it's a revelation to me. It doesn't take much for something to be a revelation to me. Understand what I'm saying? Do you know what the word manger refers to? It's not referring to that little roof. It means, literally, feeding trough. That blows my mind. So to prove it, I'm going to read you Luke 2:7 from the International Standard Version of the verse. Okay, Luke 2:7 from the ISV. And she gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him in strips of cloth and laid him in a feeding trough because there was no place for them in the guest quarters. Can anybody get this picture? I half grew up on my uncle's ranch, and we had a lot of chores. We found the chores to be a chore, but we had a lot of chores. And one of the things, Paul, and by the way, this chair railing, did Brother Paul, Sister Vicky, hallelujah, do a great job on this brand new chair railing around the wall here, brand new. He couldn't have done it without Vicky. I'm sorry, Paul, I had to get that in there. Praise God. What do we do with our precious women, our precious sisters, help make everything work right? Praise God. Anyway, so one of my jobs was to slop the hogs, was to feed the pigs. Megan, it was so humbling. And we'd take a great big old 5-gallon bucket of, I don't know what else to call it, but slop. If you've got a better word, see me after service and I can insert it into my notes, but I just call it slop. And we walk out there and those honkers, I mean, their noses were all the way to Tallahassee. I mean, they scared the living daylights, Joe, out of me. I'm just afraid they're going to take my foot off. You know, I'm going to miss my kneecap. I'm just not going to go back home safe and sound and all put together. And I'd pour out that slop into their feeding trough. Certainly not a royal, regal place to touch, look at, let alone lie in. I want you to see the humilities of Bethlehem. I want you to see that this whole story is about humbling ourselves. This mighty God who plugs in the stars every night, leaves the chandelier on called the sun, leaves the porch light on called the moon. This mighty God humbled himself and wound up lying in a food trough. Now that gets a hold of me. And I say, oh God, what humility. I thought I knew what pain was until I got kidney stones. And then I thought I invented the concept. And then he healed me. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then he healed me. He's a healer, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53 verse 5. He's still a healer, ladies and gentlemen, and he still wants to touch us and heal us and break chains off of us. Come on, let's love him. Here he is, lying in a food trough. But you know, he said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never become hungry, and whoever believes in me will never become thirsty. So lying in the food trough, Brother Tim, is he who will feed the world. And still does. Every day. And Sister Lisa, I am humbled by the humilities of Bethlehem. This mighty God who makes the mountains dance and the hills smoke at his touch comes down and winds up in a food trough so you and I could say, I want some of that bread. I want to be fed. I want to be led. I want some of that bread. Lift your hand with me right now, would you? And ask God to feed you today. Ask God to heal you today. Ask God to touch you today. And you came here and you've got many wrestlings and many maybe struggles, much of it, most of it private, not known to others. Never want to embarrass yourself. But you see, there's a story here, and it's just simply this. Just as he humbled himself and became a miracle, so when we come to him, we don't come in arrogance. We don't come in what we think is our magnified intelligence. We come in brokenness, and we come in humility. And when we do, we become the miracle. Can anybody give me an amen in the house? Oh, wow. Here's Samson. Now I'm going to take that story. I'm going to tie it to this one. Hero of heroes. Do you know this guy got all fired up one night? I believe it's Judges 16 again. And he has this late night date. The enemy lay in wait for him. And so he thought it's about time to go home. So he gets down to the city gates and they're locked. So he gets himself up against the corners of those gates. And he gets his shoulder in there. And he pulls up out of the ground. I'm going to use a word that my wife uses that I love. These ginormous gates. She uses that word. I want to use that word. That's a cool word. Where'd you get that word? From the dinosaurs. So he pulls up these gates. These gates kept out thieves and robbers and folks that were suspect. He pulls up these gates. You say, that's no big deal. Really? When's the last time you pulled a gate up that just kept the dog out? Okay, so understand what I'm saying? And they must have weighed hundreds and hundreds of pounds. But yes, it wasn't just that. He carried them 32 miles uphill. This is the man who is standing there with a little boy holding his hand. You talk about humility. You talk about brokenness. You talk about being embarrassed. But in that position of brokenness, the manifestation of God's power against his enemies, the manifestation of God's discipline. See, I know in my heart of hearts that somebody's here. And let me see if I can describe some of the junk that traffics through you. You remember too well. You remember your failures. They were in Samson's face every day. Old Brother Mangan. Anybody ever hear Anthony Mangan preach? Amazing man of God. His daddy was also an amazing preacher. I remember one time I got around G.A. Mangan and I felt the presence of God so strong, Brother Bob. He was a prayer warrior and a faster. Usually fasted about 3 days a week. Was his style. He used to have this old sermon chest that went like this. Sin will bind you. Sin will blind you. Sin will grind you. And that makes me think of this man named Samson. You talk about failures. You talk about feeling like embarrassed. We got representatives. We got politicians. We got movie stars that are losing their jobs because of a public definition. All right, a public declaration and a public embarrassment, and it's changing the face of the American culture because God is cleaning house. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, he wants to move in here and clean up my house, your house. And he didn't come through Bethlehem's humble gates just so we could sing Christmas carols. He came because he wanted to walk in us and live in us and look through us and think through us and love through us. Lift your hand, let's love him a little bit, would you? Oh, my. What an amazing God. And I'm almost done. What an amazing Jesus. What an amazing Savior. Hallelujah. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Wow. Yeah. He was mocked by his enemies. He was made fun of. It was all a sport. That's what the enemy does when he gets you down. He just mocks us. See, fodder for Saturday Night Live. You know, just voices of mockery. And we have been there, every one of us, in this room. As a matter of fact, let me take a real quick poll. Who has ever felt like you've been a failure at times? I mean, how about several times? Just lift your hand and be honest with the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, then you know what Samson felt like. But in his brokenness, you see, this is what really touches my heart. In his brokenness, though he was a famed war hero from the other side of the tracks, he had a brokenness and a desperation to somehow reconnect with God. And he did so because he was humbled. Here's what I've discovered about God. I like this. If you don't humble yourself, he can figure out a lot of ways to help you. He never runs out of good ideas. Sister Freeman, the amazing Sister Freeman, a missionary to South Africa, a woman full of miracles and healings. And she said this years ago. I wrote it down in my notes. She said it this way. God has arranged our humiliations. Hold it. You don't suppose that the humilities mic of Bethlehem are supposed to be speaking to me and telling me that every humility, every humiliation, every sense, William, that we didn't quite measure up are supposed to lead us to the babe in Bethlehem lying in a trough. Oh my, that puts a whole new spin on it for me. What an amazing story that God who makes the lilies grow in the valleys, the one called the Rose of Sharon, that he allowed himself to be put into the hands of men. He ended up in the arms and hands of people who didn't, some of them didn't fully even know who he was. And he let them take care of him. And as he grew, he began to take care of them and still takes care of us. The humilities of Bethlehem. We've been praying for our district superintendent. And thank you for that, Brother Norman Pasley. It is an amazing man. Let me tell you what I have felt around him. I know, some of us know, that a few years ago, he had a storm, a spiritual storm, arise in his life, in his church. And he had, let me see if I can say, I'm going to say this delicately. He had, I think, someone come to his church who later on he called them as a false prophet. They did a lot of damage. I'm not even saying that they are a false prophet. I'm just saying that they did a lot of damage. He lost five of his best families out of a great church in Cincinnati where he pastors. Now, I've been around Norman Pasley. He is one of the funniest guys. How many of you have ever seen him in his comedy acts? Okay. I mean, if you think you're funny, just listen. And he was your pastor for how many years, you guys? 10 years. Is he funny? Bob said, you should hear him on a golf course. But listen to this. something. Oh, man. He's still got that humor. But I'll tell you something else he's got. When I'm around him, his humor isn't what impacts me. It's his brokenness. But God knew, you see. He comes through this horrendous time. He didn't know it, and others didn't know it. But God knew it, that in a few short years, we'd elect him the superintendent of the great state of Ohio. Hallelujah. So in his brokenness, you see, so in his humilities, God promoted him. I see the story of Bethlehem all about a call for all of us to say, I want to humble myself and admit I don't have it all together. And when I hear the story of Samson standing there with this little boy, and he can't see, and this little boy needs to help him, and he gives the little guy a little request. Could you lead me to the central pillars? This war hero, this Audie Murphy with an anointing, is asking this child to lead him to the central pillars. You know what happens? I think of a scripture from the book of Isaiah. Hallelujah. It's so brief, but it says, a little child shall lead them. Isaiah chapter 11, a little child shall lead them. What is Bethlehem's story? It's about humbleness. It's about humility. It's about laying our lives down, as it were, and lying down in a food trough so somebody can be fed that's hungry. And he says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. It's about people who are sitting here today, and I'm almost done, and you feel like you've been a failure. That's what Samson felt like. The carnalities caught up with him. His undisciplined life, it all caught up with him. But God, Brother Derek, in his grace installed a little boy in his life. He downloaded a little boy who didn't know as much. You see, sometimes we think because we know a lot, we don't need much because we're smart. We're smart, but we're stupid when it comes to spiritual depth. God installed a little boy, and the great man of God who had a rough time was coming back to the Lord, and he has to make a request of this little guy. And in his humility, this little boy leads him to a strategic place, and I believe that's exactly what God is doing with our church coming into the new year. Come on now, lift your hand. Let's ask God to put us in a strategic place, a strategic place, a strategic position. Hallelujah. I praise you, Lord. You may be here and you feel like you're a train wreck, but if you'll take a hold, hallelujah, a little child, a baby from Bethlehem, Lisa, is going to lead us out, because now he's full grown and he's the mighty God in Christ, and he's going to lead us. Amen. A babe shall lead them. Don't disparage the tiny voices in your life. Don't disparage the little voices. These kids were up here, and I say kids, some of them were out of their teens. I'm just an overgrown teenager. The secret here is there's a little boy in here, and I have to rein him in because he likes to have fun, sometimes too much. What I want to say to you is what we learned from Samson holding on to this little boy's hand, and that is, don't be afraid to ask for help. See, God, why would you lay this on my heart? I've never preached anything about Samson on Christmas. Why would you lay this story on my heart? Don't be afraid. See, Bethlehem was all about humility. Getting miracles, getting healed, getting our life changed. He is not done with you. You have an assignment. Oh, I believe that with all of my heart. We heard Brother Aaron, I think that's the best lesson you have ever taught in our church. And I believe there's a bunch of people that would shout amen. Amen. Beautiful lesson on how to ascertain the will of God. Thank God for fruit and thank God for favor. And Sister Gwen, I don't know if you have that up there yet. I hope you do, but you need to go up and listen to that because God will talk to you through that message. I remember one day, I've been involved in pastoring a number of churches through the years, and I remember in this one pastorate, I was trying to figure out how to help an individual, and they were complicated. I don't think they were even trying to be complicated. They were precious and very valuable, but extremely complicated. And I tried this and I tried that, and I've been involved in sales. I've been in, you know, I've sold door to door as a kid. I've sold a little bit of everything you can think of, furnace service, newspapers, candy, Christmas cards, you name it. I mean, you know, I've been involved through the years in sales, and you know, you learn hopefully a few things. But I finally was like, I'm out of answers. I don't know. And so I thought, I'm going to call somebody. I'm going to just humble myself. And I'm going to call somebody and I'm going to pick their brain. They're younger than I am. So that means, right, that they don't have any answers, right, if I'm older than they are. Jesus, at the age of 12, what was he doing in the temple? Answering their questions. Why? Because Isaiah said in Isaiah 11, a little child shall lead them. Don't disparage the tiny voices. Don't disparage the little people that seem to have no huge performance or fame, but their little voices. Tell me, give me a witness when I share this. I've had, Brother Cody, little kids come up to me and they opened their mouth and they said something to me. And guess what? I knew that God just spoke to me. Come on, give me a witness if you've ever had that happen. I mean, a little kid. They weren't a professor. They didn't have a PhD. They didn't have a BA. I have a BA, born again. I have a PhD, post-hole digger. Oh, yeah, I've got all those degrees, enough degrees to kind of stalk or stack a thermometer, but with no degrees in their innocence and in their simplicity and in their sincerity. God put a word in their mouth, and when they spoke to me and walked away, I knew that the Holy Ghost had just talked to me, because Isaiah 11 says, a little child shall lead them. That's Bethlehem's story. A little child shall lead them. That's Bethlehem's story. It's a story of humility. Of answers coming from unforeseen places. Of little people with little voices that can change your life. And there's the war hero. Standing there and can't see. And see, that's usually our problem. How you doing? Well, I just don't see why. I don't get it. Most people backslide because they don't get something. They just don't get it, and it throws them. Sometimes throws them for years. Well, I just don't see. See, we're just like Samson. Samson is a picture of us. All the possibilities. What if he had led a moral life? What if he had led a clean life? What if he had learned how to discipline himself around the opposite gender? He never did that. He was an overgrown boy who had spoiled himself by letting his flesh run away with him. But now there's a little boy holding on to his hand. Can you crawl into Samson's noggin and understand how embarrassed he must have felt? Ask this little guy a little question. Could you lead me to the central pillars whereon this building lies? I believe, Brother Scott, that in these last days, God not only has revelation for us, he has strategic revelation for not only our young people, but for our churches, for our lives, for our soul winning, if we're willing to humble ourselves, if we're willing to humble ourselves, to come down Bethlehem's road and stand, amen, and be there in humble places, realizing that we're laid now in the food trough and there are people looking to us to help feed them. That's Bethlehem's humility. That's what I'm talking about. Could you please help me find the central pillars? There's stuff that's coming to me about what we need to do in the new year. I'm already working on a list of goals for 2018. I wish you could give me a witness and say, I'll work with you on that, Pastor. Pray about goals. What does God want us to accomplish? We are running out of time. This is not the time to float. This is not the time to just kind of coast and hope that somebody will carry us. It's the time to dig in. There is a harvest. There are hungry people. I was looking for some of these shakes, these protein shakes, Jasmine. You ever drink any of these? You know, these shakes, high-powered shakes. And I love strawberry. My wife is addicted. I mean, my wife really likes chocolate. I have to be careful. I got to go home with her. We might be in two cars today, but Bubba, we'll meet up eventually. Pray for me. I'm going to have to wear my flak jacket when I get home. Oh, yeah. She loves chocolate. I love strawberries. And I couldn't hardly. So I was over here at Walmart. Right over here, Rachel, over here. Here, you're drove Walmart. Do you have any strawberry shakes? Low cal. Low carb. I spent better part of an hour. This lady named Debbie. Ransacked the place looking for him. Finally, I got ready to go, and she mentioned about her leg. Major problems with her leg, and that he didn't know exactly what the Walmart insurance health plan, you know, health insurance plan would cover. And I said, I'm going to pray for you about that leg. And I just felt, don't do it right now, because normally I would just pray for it right then. I'm such a timid guy, right? It's timid as long. But I'm going to pray for you. And I said, Debbie, I'm going to pray for your leg. So the next time I called her up, guess what she told me, Christy? Her leg was healed totally. And she thought about the man, the crazy man that she met at Walmart that was looking for strawberry shakes. But I said, I'm going to pray for your leg. And I did it. And Jesus touched her and healed her leg. And she was so excited. She wanted to talk to me about it. I'm telling you, God wants to raise us up to be a prophetical influence in this generation. But you've got to be willing to humble yourself and listen to the tiny voices. Lift your hand right now as our musicians come. Would you lift your hands in honor to God? Oh, Father, as we soften the lights just a little bit, God, we're here because of your grace. We're here because of your mercy. And I wish, God, somehow that somebody sitting here that feels like a misfit would know that just like you used imperfect people, little boys who know how to hang on to war heroes, like Samson full of so many inconsistencies, and yet God used him. Jennifer, he's not waiting till we get perfect. He's waiting till we have the humility to ask a few questions. Can you lead me to the central pillars, the central principles that's going to hold up my life? Can you lead me to the central pillars, truths, revelation that I need to understand so rest of my life can be born up in the strength of God? Yeah. Hallelujah. Would you love him? I wish that there was somebody that would walk down to this altar, because I'm going to have my wife come and pray a special prayer over us. We're going to take about 10 minutes of fellowship right after that. But before we do that, I'm going to give you a chance to listen to my tiny voice. I know how small I am, but I want to hold on to you. I want to reach out and take your hand and say, you're not done. Your best days are just ahead. Anybody know what I'm saying? Your best days. You're not through. You're not washed up. You're not a has-been. I'm going to challenge you to get up out of your chair and walk to this altar for a brief prayer. But I believe that by you walking here, you're making a statement. I'm not done. God's not done. The best is yet ahead. I'm listening to his voice. I'm listening to the tiny voices. A little child from Bethlehem shall lead us, but now he's a grown-up God man. Ooh, would you lift your hand? Would you lift your hand? Oh, would you let him? Oh. Would you let him touch you? Would you let him give you new confidence? Let him give you new confidence. That's Bethlehem's story. A story of humility. A road of humbleness.
But oh,
in the food trough.
Help me know you are near. You're all I want.
The creator of the ends of the world.
You're all
allowed himself to be placed in a strategic position. Like Samson of old.
Tell me know you
to listen
are
to the tiny voices. The tiny voices. Sometimes our kids, you know, can say things to us, and we go, oh, God, but you, where'd they get that? They got it from the Lord. They got it from God. Hallelujah. Would you reach around to somebody near you? We're going to pray a blessing on people. My wife's going to wind this up with a blessing prayer. But would you reach out to somebody? You're here, and maybe you feel...